Nowhere that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down. Nowhere that we...
What is up, everyone? My name is Will Holdren. I am the host of the Will Power Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, and her name is Nicole Landis. And Nicole actually runs a construction permitting business, but before she did that, she was actually in the 9-to-5 world. And along her entrepreneurial journey, she had a lot of major setbacks, meaning her partner also left her. She was in financial downfall, but she also recovered and made it work at the end of the day. And that's what this podcast is all about. So I'm super excited to have Nicole on here today. So Nicole, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. This is fun.
I love that. Yeah, we're going to have a great time today. So to start off, I kind of want to jump right into the middle of your story. So I know that you were in the 9-to-5 world before you went into entrepreneurship. So what made you want to switch out of the 9-to-5 world into entrepreneurship to begin with? Because obviously there's two completely separate realms. So what made you want to do that?
So I didn't have, you know, a traditional 9-to-5. I had positioned myself as I gotten a little older to be in a sales type of role, where, you know, you're incentivized, right? The more you sell, the more you make. And I became pretty good at that. I worked in a variety of different industries, but I'd gotten to a point where the industry was changing. The benefits that had been provided previously were no longer available, you know, insurance, health insurance, dental, things like that. And, you know, you have to make adjustments, but the pay scale was sliding, the commission structures were sliding, and it was harder and harder to be at the level I wanted to be at. I had a previous boss that said to me, you know, you're going after too big of a client. And I respectively disagreed. I'm like, you're crazy. Like, I don't want to play small ball. That's not why I'm here. You know what I mean? And he kind of challenged me a little bit. And he's like, well, you'll never get that account. And I did. But what I kind of realized is I was starting to get frustrated with the climate because there were things that I couldn't control, right? There was only so much I could control to affect my success, but there were other roadblocks and I was just getting more and more frustrated. And then they kind of wanted me to be more in the office. And I'm a little bit of an abstract person. I didn't love that model because I could be more effective in the field or, you know, regardless. So I just remember one day just being absolutely sick and tired and saying, you know, I'm too smart for this, right? Not meaning I'm smarter than everybody, but I'm smarter than the activities that were happening. And I had spoken with a gal that I had an industry crisscross with. And, you know, we kind of decided to put our heads together and see how we could do something together. We kind of did that for a very brief time. She was going to do more of the permitting side. I was going to do more of the brand building, sales, the relationship building, things like that. And it didn't last long. She bailed out on me at a really tough time. I was transitioning into this new business. I was not really focusing on my income as much as I was, you know, starting this new business, and that doesn't bring you a lot of money until they close.
Right.
And I had been, you know, I was kind of strapped financially, you know, things were not going great. And I was in a position with my vehicle where it was pretty, you know, $1,100 a month for my car wasn't a great decision when I wasn't doing well financially. And, I opened up my garage door one day and my driveway was empty. My Tahoe was gone.
Yeah.
So that was a tough time. Right at the time that we were trying to start this business. And I was at the car dealership trying to figure out what I was going to get. And my partner texted me and said, I'm done. And I'm like, what? I didn't quite understand. I thought she meant something specific, a task. That we were doing. And she said, take me off of everything. I said, okay, no explanation.
Wow.
To this day, I assumed it was a relationship thing, but regardless, I shut down that LLC, opened up a new one, redid, you know, all the corporate stuff and I hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to make it work. I was already invested. You know, I had already come that far and
right.
designed the website and all that other stuff. So I just dropped the hammer. You know, I just pressed the gas and I kept going.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a great story of resiliency. And it's amazing how even with all those setbacks, you're still able to kind of push on and keep going forward, just knowing the back of your mind that this is going to work out. And at the end of the day, as long as you believe it's going to happen, then you know, that's all that really matters.
I didn't know it was going to work out, though. That was the thing. And my industry is very interesting in that there's a lot of things that in life, like you can just YouTube.
Yeah.
Or you can research and you could ask somebody in the industry. However, what I do is very, very, very specific to each individual job. And there was just things that you couldn't find out. Like, you know, I had to figure it out on my own. But I did find out I'm really resourceful and built some good relationships professionally that have helped me. You know, they've been very advantageous.
Yep, 100%, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when you made this transition, obviously, into entrepreneurship and wanting to start your own business, I'm assuming you quit your other job, your sales job, right? Just out of the blue, right? You were done with that and switched 100% over into this other area.
100%. I do believe in multiple revenue streams, big time. Mm-hmm. Okay. To the degree that I would have been able to focus on both, I would have done it. In fact, when I did give my notice, they asked me if I would stay on like as an independent contractor. But I just felt that they were micromanaging things too much to a degree. I'm just an entrepreneur by nature. I can't be micromanaged. You have to trust me. If I say to you, Will, I've got it. You don't have to check with me every 5 minutes, right? I'm going to take care of it. So it just wasn't working for what I was trying to do. So I had to go all the way in. And then when I found out that you know, I didn't know how to price some of my services. I had no idea, you know, right. And I was like, wait, they're going to pay me that? Okay, no problem. Yeah. And so I just kind of kept it going. And what I realized was that because of my work ethic and my integrity, basically people don't balk, right? If I say, okay, this is the price, they are like, okay, we understand, right? So,
yep.
Yeah, I didn't need another job.
And that's the power of being your own boss. And I love that. And I also love you said about multiple streams of income. That's so important to not have all your eggs in one basket, especially in the world nowadays, right? Because something like COVID could happen again. Next thing you know, that stream of revenue is all gone and there's nothing you can do about it. So
actually, to that point, though, during COVID, so I just hit my 4.5 year mark for being completely on my own. During COVID, I opened up another business. And I opened up a t-shirt, like hoodie type of a business that was online based. And it gave me a lot of time to be super creative with the artwork and things like that. And that started going. I built that website too. And, you know, the Instagram and all that stuff. And then I just didn't have the time. I'm very grateful that my real business, right, my main business was doing well. And I just didn't have enough time. So I ended up like giving away stuff. I never even sold anything. But I had to close the business down because the Department of Revenue was like knocking on my door like, hey, I'm pretty sure you owe us something. And I'm like, no, I've never sold anything. I keep giving stuff away. So,
That's what you love about entrepreneurship though, right? It's trial and error. You got to research things and try things and see what actually is going to work.
Well, I could probably do it again if I had the time. You know what I mean? I know what to do. I don't have the time, thankfully. You know, but I work very hard though. I work a lot of hours.
Yeah. I believe it. So I want to go back into the whole partner part of your journey and the business, obviously. So when you're choosing a partner for your business, what are some qualities that you're looking for? While choosing partners, obviously that's so important. So many people are out there trying to find a partner as well to go into a business with, but as you know, it's difficult, right? And it's a long-term relationship and you got to make sure it's really good for it to work out.
Yeah. So that part, I actually would not ever have another partner.
Never again.
I wouldn't say never. That I think that would depend on the business opportunity.
Yeah.
But for me, the people that I partner with professionally, that plays a much bigger role. And I am very particular about who I refer. First of all, I don't love referring, but if I do, that's because it's a true professional. And when it comes to clients, it's funny, it almost goes that way as well, because a lot of times a client wants to interview you, but I'm interviewing them as well. right? Because it has to be a good fit. I have to know that this is something that I can have success at and I can deliver, you know, what your expectation is. So partner per se, no, but partnering is, I hold a pretty high standard. I've definitely turned down work and just because I didn't think it was a good fit.
Right.
So if the team that I'm working with or the client is not on the same level that I am, that it's just not worth it for me.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good perspective. And so just so I'm clear, so for people that are listening, and this is obviously your opinion on this, so if someone's starting their own business, you would recommend not having a partner at all and just figuring out by themselves from those, or at least setting up the LLC like for themselves.
If you're able to do so, yes. If you can carry the workload, because I think that what happens as an entrepreneur, sometimes we get stuck, right? Because we have to wear all the hats.
Right.
Right. My biggest downfall is billing. It's the worst. It's the thing I hate the most, right? Yeah. And I'm like kind of in arrears sometimes trying to catch up. So to know what you don't know is super important as well.
Yeah.
Because there's times you're going to need help. So you need, but I do believe that that sweat equity, right? If your partner is someone that you trust implicitly, this is very important, right? Yeah. And that perhaps you have an agreement in writing as well on specifically what the expectations are, what the deliverables are. But also, if you can't do everything, that person, you have to be able to trust that person to carry that other part.
Yep.
But I do believe that a lot of times in partnerships, it's very hard to find someone that's equally, 50% equally yoked, has the same work ethic, has the same drive.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Yeah. And I think you said it well, though, about the whole trust factor, right? Because that's a huge part. I mean, it's not something that you should just find like a month ago and the next month you decide to start a business with them, right? It should be like a relationship that you have a longstanding history with that person. You've dealt with them before, you know, how they're going to work, how they're going to perform. Because like you talked about before, you're the type of person where if you say you're going to do something, you're going to get it done, right? So you need people to also match that energy. When it doesn't happen, it's rough. Yeah.
It's really tough because I think ideally most people have, you know, we all want to win.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people want, you know, to work for themselves and be able to say, you know what, I'm taking off next week and, you know, take a trip or whatever. But the reality is that most people don't want to do the late nights, the weekends, you know, compromising, like I just can't, you know, be at X, Y, and Z because I have to finish this other thing to get it across the finish line. And again, it's not everybody's exactly that same way. So that's a super tough thing to have as a partner.
Yeah.
I think.
No, I think you're totally right. Right. Yeah. And that's a good thing about entrepreneurship too. So you're talking about, you're really training like a 9-to-5 for like a lifestyle, like job business, right? You're pretty much 24/7. At that point,
you really do, honestly, because even when I try to separate it, I'm still constantly. I mean, I was hiking in Arizona last year at this time, and you know, I remember telling my best friend, I was like, "All right, just give me 5 minutes. I just have to call this line." I was in Iceland on my laptop, you know, but that's okay. You see, it's very different when it's your business. You don't mind as much, right?
Yeah, and you care a lot more. Yeah,
I care a lot. I really do. I genuinely care about every single one of my projects and all of my clients.
Yeah.
And I try my best to give them the highest possible level of service.
Yeah. And that's how it has to be.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So I want to jump back into your story a little bit. So after you open your garage door up, there is no car in there, right? You had literally no money. You had to restart your LLC in your own name.
Yeah. I mean,
like, what was your mindset at that point? And really, Lily, what was the next step to really turn that financial situation around in your life?
That's actually a very, very good question, because that was a little bit of an awakening for me, because I was very unsteady. I mean, as you can imagine, it's very uncomfortable to be in that situation. Unbelievably uncomfortable. And I knew that people, like, I knew I had money on the street, so to speak, that was remained to be collected. But I just felt like as if when I kind of did like a quick assessment of who was in my corner, I couldn't clearly say, kind of like what I said before, right? That this person is yoked like I am, and it made me do almost like an automatic audit of personally and professionally the people in my life. And I just went across the board and just kind of very quietly eliminated some people from my life. No words were had, no, just because I just kind of felt like elevation requires separation.
Yeah. Right?
And if certain people are not really supporting me or not like, hey, you know, whatever it is, checking in, I just was like, I got to do this. I've got to go. Right. So I just kind of hunkered down and got super focused and eliminated a lot of distractions.
Yeah.
So to speak.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Did I answer the question? I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, basically. And what I love about you said is that, you know, you eliminate distraction, right? Because so many people, I think that people don't even realize that people that are around you are so negative and so deterring to your own dreams and goals, it's bad. And you think they're like your best friends, or sometimes your family members are saying, and then next thing you know, they're letting you down. Like, they don't have the same dreams as you and the same goals. And if you tell your dreams to people that don't have dreams like that, it's not going to be good. They're going to try to tear you down because they couldn't do that themselves, right?
I have to be honest. My circle is so small. Yeah. And I really like it that way, because it's just one of those things. Not everybody's going to be happy for you, whether intentionally or not. I don't believe that people are genuinely, you know, malicious, but they don't understand. And specifically, there was a period where I had one friend in particular that just kept inviting me to certain things. And I said, I can't, I've got stuff to do. And she didn't understand. And I understood very clearly that we're just not the same.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so true. It's different mindsets, like entrepreneurs, that we have growth mindsets and other people kind of don't see like the vision, like why we're going so hard at this certain stuff, not seeing the results instantly. Right. But it's just down the road that you know, it's going to happen.
Again, I think that I believed in myself and I knew that I could do a lot. Right. But I wasn't quite sure, you know, where this was going to take me. But I didn't pull off the gas. And I even said that to clients before. I was like, you know, all gas, no brakes.
Yep.
And whatever it takes, you know, and it proved to be very rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what I want people listening to know as well, is that just so you're talking about, like, entrepreneurship and starting a business is a very lonely road, right? You just mentioned you lost so many friends along the way, and you said your circle right now is so tight and small. And I agree. It's the same thing for me too. I have my own business on the side besides a podcast, and you go through it and it's like, wow, there's really two or three people out there that I would say are really in that close group of friends or like my family of choice, right? You know what I mean? It's that hard, because other people, like you mentioned, they just don't get it. You try to talk to them about this stuff and it doesn't make sense to them. And it's just, it drags you down along the way if you try to pull them up with you. Like, you can't force them to come with you. You just have to, you know, it is what it is, but it's a lonely road, right? And I think a lot of people don't
understand. It can be. It can be. And also, the other thing that I found super interesting is that I've actually tried to help other friends, because I know that they don't know what I know, right? So I don't only do permitting. I do state licensing, whether it's opening a business, occupational licenses, liquor licenses, food service licenses, which all came as a result of starting with permitting. I didn't know how to do any of this, but I figured it out, right?
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, you know, some of my girlfriends that are like-minded in the fashion that they're, you know, good moms, they're smart, they're, you know, they've got good personalities, they've got good drive. And I've even said to them, I'll help you. I'll open the LLC for you. You've got the skill set to do this. You can do this by yourself,
yeah.
You know? And, you know, you can't make them want it. I mean, I think people want it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the steps, I think the steps can be scary too. It was scary for me.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? But when you're banking on yourself, you see, that's when you go, okay, well, this is mine to win or lose.
Right.
You know, I got to win. So, you know.
No, I think you're spot on. And I think that in that instant in your life too, when, you know, your car wasn't there, it's like your back was against the wall, right? You had to go up from there. There's nowhere else you could go.
That's so that it, kind of right? And I remember being just super cognizant of that moment. And it was interesting too, because I could have, you know, called the bank and said, hey, listen here, and you know, gotten my beautiful Tahoe back, right?
Yeah.
But I really thought about it. And I said, this interest rate was terrible. I overpaid for this truck to begin with. It was almost like a favor. You know what I mean? I was able to hit a hard reset and go, okay, forget it. I'm not making any more bad financial decisions, right? I'm at the bottom. Great. Let's start over, you know? And it was a favor.
Yeah.
If you can believe that. And I've rebuilt my credit since then.
There you go.
I worked hard on that.
It all worked out at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, again, it's me, right? Nobody was going to do it for me. So.
Yeah. Another thing you mentioned is that when you're an entrepreneur, obviously you're by yourself in this business as well, is that you have to wear all the hats starting out, pretty much figuring out everything. So did you learn to do that all by yourself, or did you hire other people to come in and, you know, help you out with that stuff? Or how did you learn to do that kind of stuff?
Completely by myself. I built the website. GoDaddy had a great website builder. It's much better now than when I originated it. I had an idea for the logo. I mean, just everything. The Instagram. I don't post as much as I should, but I'm busy. You know, it's self-taught, pretty much everything. And I have a few hobbies that I'm basically self-taught on as well. You can YouTube a lot of it, some stuff. But, you know, hug the chandelier by myself. I figure it out. You figure it out. If you want anything, you can figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And YouTube is a great tool for that. You know, they didn't have that 20 years ago. So take advantage of all the knowledge that is on there.
YouTube University. That's my stuff.
That's right. That's the way forward.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So with your business, obviously it's growing each year, which is awesome. So I'm just curious, like, do you have like an exit strategy in mind, or like what's your end game with the business?
It's funny you say that. I was just talking about this with a friend. Not yet, because I feel like, you know, now I've got a pretty good thing going. It's hard to download everything that I've got here.
Right.
To another individual. And it's hard to replicate what I do, because a lot of people, they just don't want to do it. Right. I'll give you an example. I try my very best to answer every one of my clients' phone calls. Now think about that. Right.
Yeah.
It's not always easy. And look at what I said. I was in Arizona hiking, you know, and I took that call.
Yeah.
The reason for that is because I've been very successful in separating myself from others in my industry. And I'm not even going to say competition, because they're not.
I love it. Okay?
The reason for that is because, again, what I just said, I try to take every one of my clients' calls. My clients, anybody's clients, don't want to hear your voicemail. They just don't. Right. Yeah. So even if I have to say, hey, Will, I'm walking into an elevator, I'll call you in 20 minutes. You're like, great, fine, right? Even if I say, and that's the same for emails as well. You know, guys, I'm out of the office until Tuesday, you know, whatever the case may be. So, Sorry.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, no, I get that. And like you said, obviously, I think that gives it a very personal touch as well. And that's why, you know, at the end of the day, you're beating your competition, right? That's why you're outpacing them, because they're not doing
it. But it's funny too, because it would be hard for me to ask that of employees, right? That's not realistic. A lot of people are not going to do that, right? It's my business, not theirs. So that's tough. Also, like I said, everything that I have is pretty much up here. So for me to now download that information to someone else, you know, I'm starting to see a little bit that there's some entities that do some of the things that I do, not all. And I think that that's smart, right? It's smart, because in what I do, it's not just a single facet. There's all these other things that complement that one thing that kind of work together with that.
Right.
So people that can do that, I think, is very smart. But again, to do it on a level, on the high level that I do it, to do it well, right? And to also spread that out amongst other employees, or it's really not easy.
Yeah.
So for now, it's staying as it is, but down the road in another, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, I think I may revisit that. We'll see.
Yeah. And that's obviously like a very difficult part about it as well, right? The exit strategy, how are you going to leave it, whether it's, you know, selling it off, an acquisition or a merger, whatever that looks like, right? I mean, that's always a tough conversation to have, but it's just a good thing to keep in the back of your mind, you know, at the end of the day, right? To make sure
I mean, it is. It's not to say that if an opportunity presented itself, I don't know that that really it would, because it really, it's me, right? I'm the business, right? Yeah. So I don't know that that would present itself, but I definitely have, you know, my eye on what the future looks like pushed out, you know?
Yeah. So with that being said, then what are some of your big goals that you guys are, that you want to hit with your business for like the next couple of years? Do you have any ideas on that side of stuff?
I've actually accomplished a lot of it already. I think that really to just perhaps find a little bit better way to balance my time, because I will say, and I'm sure that every entrepreneur would agree with me, that one of the biggest challenges is managing that work-life balance.
Yeah.
Right. Where we take times for ourselves. I mean, I used to be a trainer. I worked out 7 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And that part is not as quite as easy.
Right.
So that gets tough. It gets really tough, especially what I do is very detail oriented. So I'm mentally exhausted sometimes. Mm-hmm. So one of my future goals would be to find a way to better manage that. But to be completely honest with you, I think in a relatively short amount of time, I've acquired some really great clients, national franchisees, and the respect of pretty high level officials in my industry. So I'm very grateful for that. And to keep that going, obviously, at scale, right? Is obviously important. It's very, very important.
Yeah. No, I always love asking that question because, you know, every entrepreneur is different, right? So it's always interesting to see how each one individually works that out and what that looks like for them. So I think that's a good input. You know what I mean? Like, you've done well for yourself already. So it is what it is.
But something that's interesting, too, is my industry changed. COVID forced a lot of what I do to go electronic, which is great. We think, right? You would think that automatically one would assume, oh, it's online. You just you get to stay home. Not the case. In fact, in many cases, it's gotten harder. So in doing so, I've had to adjust my fees as well, right?
They go up.
That's right. You have to. Super important. Super important. There's no freebies. You understand, like you have to value yourself enough to make people understand. I mean, sorry, my time and it's billable. So,
right.
And I kind of bill like an attorney would.
Okay.
You know? So if something I do have like in my contracts, let's just say not to exceed X, Y, and Z. And if it goes over, then we revisit this.
Gotcha.
But very important, I think, for people starting out to really never undervalue themselves. Because I think when we're unsure, I'll just do this and I'll do that for free. Don't do that. Don't do that. Bill for your time. Bill for your services.
Yep, it's your business. You gotta have that respect for yourself. Just like
absolutely.
Yep. So before we run out of time, here, I have a couple more questions for you. So one, you know, a lot of people looking outside in on your story right now, like where your business is at, it's like, wow, like she has it all together. It's a very successful business, growing each year. Right? That it looks super impressive. So, what would you recommend for people that are on the outside that really want to make that jump into their own business, but they're just afraid to take out that leap? You know, what would you recommend for them to do that?
There's never a perfect time, right? So the more time you think about it is the more time you're losing. Mm-hmm. You have to action. You just do it. And if you fail, that's okay. I mean, one of the rules of sales is every no gets me one step closer to a yes. Yep. So okay, you fall down. What are you going to lay there? No, you're going to get back up and you just keep going. And that is literally the best way to learn, right? Because how are you going to learn if you don't make the mistakes? There's no script that someone can give you for a lot of the late nights and, you know, all that stuff. You have to keep going.
I love that.
Yeah.
And going off of that, then what has been the biggest thing that you have learned so far on your entrepreneurial journey? Like the biggest thing that's really stuck out to you, you know, over the course of your business life?
The biggest thing that I've learned.
There's so many, right? It's hard to pinpoint.
I learn every day. Can I be honest with you, Will? I've even said this to people. I consider myself so lucky that I'm able to learn something new every day, to the degree that a lot of the professionals that I work with, even in settings that are not directly involved, that I'm involved in, and meaning I'm present and I can overhear a conversation, I listen to everything.
Yeah.
Because you never stop learning, never, ever. And like I said, every single day, I'm humble enough to understand that I'll never know everything, but I know a lot. And experience will teach you that. So unless you're really taking chances and really doing, and you know, you're limiting how much you can learn and how much you can advance.
So I'm
always learning.
Yeah, I love that tip, you know, continuously learning. And there's so many entrepreneurs that are out there that say the same exact thing, right? It never stops. You always need to grow, because if you don't learn, then you're going the other way. So.
Yeah, what a disservice to yourself.
Yep.
I love learning, yeah. So.
I love that. And so before we hop off, is there anything else that you would like to say? And if people want to reach out to you, how can they possibly find you?
How could they possibly? So my company has an interesting name. It's Construction Concierge and Compliance. I think that people, when branding, this is something also super important for entrepreneurship. Your brand, you are your brand, right? But how you position yourself with your name, your logo, your everything should be very inclusive of what you do. It should say that. So construction, we know that. Compliance, well, that's a lot of things. Concierge, that's me, like a hotel. You call the guy downstairs. Hey, where do I call me, right? Yeah. So my Instagram is CCC Group. The website is constructionconciergeandcompliance.net. My email is Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, at construction, all spelled out, concierge, all spelled out, .net. And I had to take that long email address because when I did the domain name, it was my only choice. So it's a little long.
That's fine. That's fine. It still sounds good though, right? Yeah. That's good. All right, guys, there you have it. Nicole Landis, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Will. No way to-